Good morning to all and greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here with you all again. I'm sorry we cannot be here as a family. With our plans, seemed like the Lord had other plans. Come through a cold winter, and the phrases you hear sometimes say that, you know, cold winters kill your bugs and all that, and this winter seems to defy that, and so I guess that's probably an old wise fable. Just think of the verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4, but refuse profaning old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And so we just believe that the Lord understands and knows what is best in our lives, and we need to accept that. I have enjoyed the service so far this morning very much. I came wallowing in a bucket of despair in the last 24 hours. And I was encouraged this morning. When the service started like it did, I took heart and believed the Lord had me here for a reason. And so, I'll probably share through the message. We'll get a little wind into it. But anyhow, thinking about a message this morning, I preached this at Winchester last Sunday, and somehow I felt that I'd be put to the test in what I preached, and I certainly was this week. And so I guess I will share it over again because it's real to my life, and it's real to where I'm at, even though it's a very simple message. I'd like to actually do a character study this morning in Gideon. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." While we look at this story this morning out of Judges, one of the things we want to learn from, we can learn that as God worked with men and women back in times past, he is also working with us in like manner today. And today we have Jesus Christ, and we have him to exalt and to look forward to. But I believe if we look at the story of Gideon, we will see that Christ is also involved in that before he came as a babe. And so we want to look at that story of Gideon this morning. Turn with me to Judges chapter 6. This is a tremendous story, and we won't read all of it, but we'll read enough of it to refresh our memory on this story here. And I think it can be a lesson for us, regardless of where we are in life. There's tremendous challenges when you look at the lives of men and women who step out and are faithful in the midst of a group of people who are doing something different. And I think I've shared the story of Desmond Doss. I don't know if I did here or not, but of a man I've read his life story. His name was Desmond Doss, and he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And there was another man, I cannot remember his name, and also a Seventh-day Adventist, that I read an account of how he stood up for what was right in the midst of World War II. I'm not here advocating that we are Seventh-day Adventists, but I do want to help us understand that men who have stood for what is right throughout the ages and have stood up in the midst of a group of people around him who are doing the opposite, that God can bless that effort and God can take that and use it, even though maybe we would see some things differently ourselves. And so the title of the message this morning is Gideon's Time of Testing. We'll read about Gideon's time of testing, but you and I today's our day. And it's a challenge to me as I look at this. Let's start reading Judges chapter 6. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which were in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the hand of out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the God of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah. And I believe that at least some of the time through here is referred to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, and the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him, and presented under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And so did he. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rocks, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. And unto this day it is in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. When the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, and they said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood by him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Zerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered unto him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also were gathered after him, and sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew of the fleece only, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak with this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, with this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. And we have Gideon here. The Lord told him, he said, there's too many people. And he said, we need to downsize your army a little bit. Probably most of you remember the steps they went through there. Anyone that was afraid was allowed to return home. And then he said, there are still too many for you. And he brought them down, verse 5, so he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself, and likewise everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. The number of them that lapped putting their hand to their mouth were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you. And deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. And the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained his 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hand be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped, and returned unto the host of Israel, and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered unto your hand the host of Midian. We have there following the account of what happened there in the battle. And we know that Gideon was able to do that, what God had told him to do with 300 men. We'll pick up part of this story at the end of the message, but stop there for now. Looking at this tremendous story, we ran over it in a short time, and even though it happened in a rather short time, to put myself in Gideon's shoes, and put yourself in those shoes, what he faced, and the tremendous pressure there must have been to cave, to back out, to not obey the word of the Lord. But he was faithful. And I just have 7 points we're going to look at here this morning, and just to draw some lessons from this story here of a faithful man in the Old Testament. And it'll be for our learning that we can have hope and patience. Number one is, in the midst of group apostasy, Gideon was found faithful. If you think about it, some of the most intriguing stories, some of the stories that are told over and over again, are stories of men and women who were faithful, who rose up out of a group of people, out of a group that was headed the wrong direction, and they stood up. The Lord called them in some way, and they stood up and said, I will serve the Lord. I will do what is right. I love to read that story of Desmond Doss, not because I would do everything that he did, but because he was a man who stood up again and again by himself with the help of God. And I marvel at that, and I look at my own courage, I look at my own faith in God, and I wonder if I would pass the test. And you can go down through Noah, was a man in among how many? We don't know. But it says Noah walked with God, and God preserved him. God kept him. You can look at Joseph, a man sold into Egypt. There in the midst of sensuality and all kinds of wickedness, no one to be accountable to except God in heaven. And he says, how can I sin and do this great wickedness against God? That he stood out among all those people and was willing to stand up for the truth and what he knew was right. Moses suffered affliction with the people of God. I think it would have been so easy for Moses to just follow the ways of Egypt. Probably everything that would appeal to the flesh was available to him in Egypt. Abraham was a man called away from his family and away from idol worship. And I think of Gideon, I think of these men, and we hold these men up. Joseph. I mean, there's books written about Joseph. There's books about Abraham. Why? And not that you and I are trying to get a book written about us. That's not the point. The point is that they stood up for what was right. And you and I, that is where you and I are going to be put to the test. We are put to the test in the midst of all kinds of sin that is happening around us. Will I stand for what is right, or will I go with the flow? And I see some threads that ran through the lives of these men and women, that all of these, they had the opportunity to reject truth and to follow after the things that would please them. And I marvel today that how often it is. You know how easy it is to fall into just following the desires of the flesh. There's all kinds of opportunities, not the right word, because opportunity is positive. I can't think of a word to bring it into the negative sense. Do you know what I mean? There are so many ways or so many instances that you and I have in life that we can choose to indulge in the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, in the world in which we live. Moses had that. Gideon had. They could have did what he wanted to. He didn't have to obey the voice of the Lord, but he did. We see that the call to obey God cuts across family ties. I see that here even in Judges. Judges chapter 6, it says, because he feared his father's household. He's supposed to go in there and just take those idols, get them out of there. But he feared his father's household. What did Jesus say? Except a man hate father, mother, and on down the list he went. Now we understand that he didn't mean, by the rest of the scriptures, he didn't mean that you hate him in the literal sense that we sometimes think. But you know, that really is a challenge today. And I think sometimes we think that is over in India, that's over where Buddhism is, and I'm here to tell you it's not. It's in the Mennonite circles. It's wherever there is faithful men, that at times it's going to cut across family ties. It will happen. And we must be willing to stand for what is truth when that happens. These men were called to do something most people would think is ridiculous. It seems ridiculous that you would take 300 men and go to fight a battle. I mean, even Jesus said, a king is going to look at what he has and what the next king has, and he's going to say, am I able to go up against this man? That is common sense. Abraham left not knowing where he was going to go. Noah built this ark for 100 years. These men were called to stand alone or with the minority. And that's hard to do. And if you've had to stand alone, I trust you have at some point in your life. Because Christianity, if you're a Christian and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to call you in the midst of friends, in the midst of Christian people, to stand for what you believe is right. All these men had a personal relationship and accountability with God. Noah walked with God. Joseph said, how can I sin and do this great wickedness? Accountability to God. Gideon, the Lord was there speaking to him as he went through and coaching him through. But he was asked to do this hard task. You know, the beauty of a group setting. The beauty of a group setting is that we can help each other to be faithful. But sometimes that has also created something where that we just tend to mesh together, then we don't always stand up for our individual convictions that we have. If you and I are going to do what is right, you and I are going to have convictions that God is going to speak to us individually about, that he's not going to speak to your brother or sister about. And because we're in a group setting, sometimes we think, well, we just have to mesh them together. And we do, except that at times we need to say, well, this is where I'm going to stand. This is where I must stand on the issue to have peace with God. And we respect each other for that. There's just something about when you and I are forced to stand with a minority, that it will strengthen our convictions. We are forced to make a decision of where I will stand in this issue. The church didn't speak to it. I wasn't taught at home how to stand on it. But I see this issue and I must stand for what is right. And here I find myself in the minority. But that's what it means to be a Christian many times. Jesus said that it would be that way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Number two, God could not give Gideon the victory until the idols of his father's house were taken down and an altar of the Lord was put in its place. A lot of parallels that could be likened into our life today. But do you see that as one of the first things? As soon as Gideon was willing to take up the task of being faithful and obedience to God, God said, you need to go and you destroy those idols. And he built an altar unto the Lord. And there he was. He did it by night. He knew he would face opposition. And that's a challenge for each one of us. The reason that you and I sometimes struggle to live in victory, sometimes we struggle because we're not willing to let go of something. There's something that in our life that we love, we want. We want to keep it. In the New Testament, 1 John chapter 5, and he goes through that book of 1 John. He doesn't end it by saying, you know, we'll see you later like we generally end it. He said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. That was his parting comment. That was his last comment as he closed that letter to them. Little children, keep yourselves from idols, because if we allow something else to take the place of Christ, we will be defeated. We're going to lose out on our Christian life. You know, in the Ten Commandments, they start out with, thou shalt have no other gods before me. In the New Covenant, we have to love the Lord God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And we live in a land that is given to idolatry. Do you know, it really is in our circles. It's in the midst of us. And it can be in the midst of my life if I don't deal with it. And I think I can share this story here. We had a company meeting, well, I don't know how long ago it's been, a month or so. And, you know, we have some Mennonite boys that work for us, and they like to drive nice trucks and put things on them. And Melvin, it was interesting to be a witness. And, you know, Melvin just told the boys, you need to ask permission before you dress your trucks up anymore. It's where it needs to be. And do you see what happened here whenever Gideon threw the idol down? That it brought contention. It brought... You know, that's what happens when we touch the idol. That people rise up. If it's not an idol, it's not a big deal, right? Shouldn't be. If it's an idol, it is. I just lay that challenge before you and I. If there's an area in my life that people cannot touch, is that somehow standing between me and God? God had to touch the idols. And I don't know what part Gideon had in these idols. If he actually was part of that, but God asked him to take it away, get it out of there. Number three, as Gideon's fear led him to put out a fleece. I think you and I can all understand, we can all sympathize with Gideon. Asked to be the one to do this, asked to do this difficult task, and he still didn't even know yet the way God was going to do to his army. The Lord took him one step at a time. We don't read anywhere that God was displeased with Gideon for laying out this fleece. If we go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 and 41, and certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. from thee. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And so we have these two, and I throw that verse in there that Jesus said, because I think we need to look at that seriously. God does not condemn Gideon for where he was at, for putting out that fleece. He answered his prayer. And I know sometimes that people of God, they lay out a fleece. And I'm not here to say that that is always wrong. One of the things I do believe, we need to look at these two instances, a little bit of a difference. One of the differences I see is that Gideon was already willing to obey the voice of God. He had already blown the trumpet. He had already started getting the people together. You see, Gideon was not in the run mode. He was in the obedience mode. He started, and he was starting to get scared. And you and I know that feeling. You start to do something. You start to obey what you believe God wants you to do, and you get scared. And he was asking for confirmation from God. We look over to the Pharisees, and they had already seen the miracles. They had already knew he had done miracles. And they were asking for a sign. You see, too many times when we ask for a sign, maybe we already know what God wants. Not always, but I've struggled with that in my life. I think I know what God wants me to do, but God, I just want you to show me something else yet. And I think we need to be careful laying out a fleece. We clearly know what the will of the Lord is. If it's sin in our life and we're trying to decide what to do with it, there's no fleece to lay. The Lord has already told us what we need to do with it. And you can take it into other areas of life. Where when we know what the will of God is, if the Bible speaks to it, if the Word of God speaks to it, there's no fleece to lay. God has already spoken to it. And I think in many ways, if we lay a fleece today, it should be with the details of a situation, the way God works them out. Because we don't understand, we're going to see so far. We don't always know how the details are supposed to work out. And so we ask the Lord to show us by opening the doors and the way to take. You see, he said, you know, if we go around seeking for a sign, Jesus said the men and women of Nineveh are going to rise up in judgment because they came. There came a man preaching to them, and they accepted by faith without signs and miracles. And they repented at the preaching of Jonah. I believe that's where you and I are today. You and I don't need signs and miracles to convince us of the importance of following Jesus Christ. But we believe by faith. We can believe by faith the word that is taught to us. We see the change in the lives of people. And we accept by faith the things that God continues to bring into our life. And the things where we believe that we need to follow the voice of God. You know, sometimes we get into situations and we run into opposition. And we start to immediately question, you know, what? Well, maybe this wasn't God's will after all. But I think of, and Gideon ran into that. As soon as he started fighting the battle, even some of his own men, not his own men, some of his own people, Ephraim, and some of those who should have been for him were giving him a hard time. You know, Apostle Paul, remember how he had the Macedonian call, the man waving for him to come help. And what happened? He went over there and got in all kinds of trouble, got into prison, got beat. And you know what I would probably do? I would say, well, maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I shouldn't even be here. That's not the case. And I think of, you know, and I think of some of the troubles we had finding a place. Some of you remember that, down in Virginia. And we just thought we were going to buy something, so we round the circle, we went around, and we went. And after a while, you get to the point, well, is this even, you know, maybe we should put out a fleece, or maybe is this even the will of God? And we changed directions a little bit, and the Lord opened the door. And just because we run into trouble, just because we run into difficulties, does not mean that that's the will of, that the will of the Lord is not still the same. The Christian life, standing for what is right, will run into difficulty, will run into problems. Number four is God cannot give Gideon the victory until all human logic was completely laid aside. First, he had Gideon destroy the idols that were part of his father's house. And then he just took his army away. And I don't know what Gideon was thinking when he was down to 300 men. I know what he was struggling with when God came to him the first time. And he said, where are all the promises? Where are all these great things that have been done for us that our fathers told us in the past? And here he is now down to 300 men. He gave himself. He said, Lord, I will do this. I will be faithful to you. And what's God do? He took all of his men away. And if I were there, if I were in Gideon's, I'd be thinking, Lord, I mean, are you there? Are you thinking? Do you know what it's like to think like that? I mean, I trust you do. You wonder what God's thinking? What's this purpose in my life? What's this supposed to mean? You see, when circumstances defy human logic, we tend to question God. And I'm not suggesting we don't live life, a normal life, meaning we understand that if we're going to pay the bills next month, that you know, we have to do that. We understand that math works and all of that. But yet God calls his people at many times to live outside of human logic. He called Gideon too. And you know, when we have a situation where we lay aside human logic, it is only there that God can work his miracles. And God can't work miracles where human wisdom and human knowledge is all that's there. But he had to take that away. He said, lest Israel vaunt themselves and say, I did it. You know what? That's real close to you and I. Even when we know that God gave the victory, we can still rise up and say, look what we did. Look what happened. Look what was able to, we were accomplished. We knew it was all of God. We asked the Lord. And I don't know. There's one time in my life that has really impressed itself upon me. And I'll tell this story here. Some of you would remember it. Some of you do not. Back when we moved to Edenville. And we built that house there and we drilled a well. And the first well was 925 feet deep, and then they only found a quarter gallon a minute. And they decided, well, you know, we'll try it. Well, we were in the house 3 weeks, and of course, it went dry. There was no water. And, you know, we had sold our first house, and it was back when times were high, and between the time that our well went dry and we drilled, we were supposed to give to this certain thing, a certain need. And you know, I really struggle with that because human logic tells you that, you know, I don't know, we've already drilled one dry well, and I don't know how much it's going to cost. And we should really wait to give to this need until we have water, right? You know, that would be the best thing to do. But you know, you hear preachers say, you hear teachers say, you hear people say, whatever, whoever it is, don't be a preacher. You know, you can't outgive God, and you can't, you put God first in your life. But that's what we did. And you know, I don't know if you know how this, you get this feeling, you know what, okay, we put God first now. Now he's going to bless us, right? Do you ever struggle with that? Do you ever think those thoughts? Well, we drilled the second well, 1,220 feet deep, no water. Third one, 700 feet, and the fourth one, 700. And then I told him, well, you might as well just stop and leave. I just can't keep putting money in the ground. But you know, that was a despairing time. You know, it was in the winter time, and it wouldn't work every day, so the thing drug out for like 3 weeks. And you know, they're drilling, just they're praying, Lord, I mean, you're the God who knows all things, the God who does miracles that you've done in the past, and you know where every stream is, it runs down through this property. I mean, you can work miracles, but there's no water. And we gave to the Lord, we thought the Lord was asking us to do, and there's no water. And you know, there's times you cry out to God, what are you thinking? God, what are you trying to do with my life? And we start to question God. We wonder, God, what are you thinking? Are you there? You know, we lay aside human logic and things don't make sense anymore. I'll finish the story a little later. Number five. The Lord was gracious enough to give Gideon a promise of his presence. You know, I suppose Gideon knew the Lord was with him. One of the things that Gideon made it probably easier for Gideon that the Lord was communicating with him clearly. It's just that he had a hard thing to do. He had a hard thing to do. When I read about how he went down to that host, and how he heard the interpretation of that dream, that's enough to make my scalp prickle. How intensely the Lord was involved in this. And how, you know, he looked at Gideon and his wavering faith and wondering how he's going to do this. He just get down to the host of Midian. And when you and I find these times in our life, when we question God, we start to wonder what God is doing for what God, what are you doing? You know, there are also times in life when God sends the little confirmations of his presence into our lives. And it's then that you and I need to remember. We need to remember these confirmations. We need to remember the times when God has been very near to us. The times that he has done things for us that we just know was straight from God. We must keep them in our mind. And I think Gideon must have been trembling. He must have been questioning God just simply because of the response. As soon as he heard the interpretation of the dream, he worshiped. I can just imagine him just falling on his knees and just, you know how it is? You start to question God. You got, God, are you here? And your faith starts to waver. And God speaks to you in some way. God reveals something to you. You feel his presence and you're ashamed at your lack of faith, and you're ashamed of the way you acted, and you just worship. There's nothing left to do. There's nothing left but to just praise the Lord. You see, the other thing that's probably equal to this is when God seems silent. And you've asked again and again, and you've prayed to the Lord, and yet it seems like that God is silent on this, whatever it may be, a certain issue, that there's no answers. And you wonder, you know, God, where are you at? Probably an equal maybe to something hard to do. And I think of the songwriter, I'm trusting to the unseen hand. I don't know what the songwriter was. I tried to find some history on the song and I could not. And I don't know what he meant. I don't know what he was struggling with at that time. But he says, I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary way, and some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. And you know, when the times when God is silent, the times we don't know what God wants from us, are the times we need to reach out our hand in faith with the unseen hand. Because God is still there, and we must accept it by faith. We accept it by faith that he has the circumstances under his control. You know, and again, back to the time, we must pay attention to the times that God does speak to us. You know, through that well, I just finished that story. You know, it's hard for me to fathom sometimes because I work with customers that spend money, you know, very freely, and I understand that's fine. But you know, when your income is a lot less and you work by the hour, work for a job, and you know, put 30-some thousand into a well, and it seems, you know, it's a loss for someone like me. And, you know, we looked at what we, you know, we still struggle with that. But you know, the Lord, through that whole instance, you know, there's some people, you know, just helped us out, and you know, we received more than what we actually gave. And I just say, Lord, even if that wouldn't have happened, it would have still been the right thing to do. But you know, it's still a confirmation that God knows what He is doing. And we trust our hand to the unseen hand of God. It was still a loss because of the amount it was. But it was a tremendous lesson to me is that we must put God first. We put Christ first. We put that ahead of ourselves and leave some results to God. And you know, I said I was been wallowing in the bucket of despair. We've had our hopes up pretty high for a church we're looking at down there. And, you know, it's an older church. It's probably going to be more affordable and all this and that, you know. And then yesterday we met with them and they gave us the price and it's not even close to what we could afford. And so, you know, I'm back on this again. I preached this last Sunday and here I am again. I just felt the Lord was going to the Lord was going to test me on this. And, you know, I look at the Lord, what are you trying to do? I mean, I'm not questioning God. I know He's in it. But, you know, God has something in mind. We just don't know what it is. We trust our hand to the unseen hand of God and realize He has all things in His control. Number 6, the Lord trusted Gideon to go in this thy might. You know, I put this at the end. This was actually at the beginning that God told him this, but I put it at the end because of the tremendous trust that God had to put into him to even say this to him. Go in this thy might. And I put it at the end because we would understand that God didn't mean flex your muscles and go to work. He meant trust me. Because He took away everything that would build morale. Everything that you and I would use to build morale in a situation, God took away from Gideon. People, groups, volumes of people build morale. God took it away. Family builds morale. God put that to the test. His father did support him. It says that. Or at least he didn't. Wasn't killed because of that. And so, go in this thy might. Go in the strength of the Lord. And I think of how God trusts men. I think of how God puts His confidence. He gives it the work of the church. He gives the gospel message to men and women. And trust us with this. Go in this thy might. Go with the strength of God. Go stripped of your own ambitions and desires. And just trust fully in God. Trust Him for the future. Number 7. And we're going to end in a negative way. And I don't know what else to do about it because it's the way the story is. This greatest victory in Gideon's life became a snare unto him. If we turn back to the story, part of it we did not read. Chapter 8. Verse 27, and Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Yeah, that's the sad part of the story. I wish it was a story where Gideon would not have done that. I wish it was a story where everything turned out right, but it's not. We have this story of this tremendous faith, this tremendous victory won. And through that instance, Gideon did something that became a snare unto him, his household, and all Israel. How can it be? And I don't know what else to do but just take that as a warning. It doesn't matter how great a victory you and I may have had this week. It doesn't matter what for beautiful thing God may have done for you. And praise the Lord if He has this week. But don't allow an instance of standing up for the truth to become proud in that thing to draw you away from God. And I also think of a couple things that as I think about this. No matter how many victories we had, no matter what God has been able to do through you and through me, that we need the blood of Jesus Christ. We need the help of our brethren as much as anybody else does. We never get to the point where we do not need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. We never get to the point where we do not need the help of our brethren. And our victory should be stepping stones to victory and not to pride. And that is meaning that as we look at the victories that have been won, and we face the next trial, and life is all about trials. It's more about trials and afflictions and all of those things than it is anything else. As we face the next trial, as you face the next set of circumstances you don't know what to do with, that we look back and we understand that God is faithful. He was faithful in the past. He's faithful in this situation. I will trust His hand. I will trust His unseen hand to the God who knows what He is doing, and we trust Him. We put our trust there. Notice that we need to look to Jesus Christ and not to men. And I think sometimes that I'm concerned for this sometimes, that we look to men too much. I look to men, and I think sometimes people do, or I know they do, if I can be that blunt. And I just encourage you this week. I've never met Tim Sanders. I don't know. I don't know if he's a good preacher. I don't know anything about it. But you need to trust the Lord for revival this week, and not a man. And you need to look to the Lord. You need to pray to the Lord, and not a man. There's too much focus on the man. It can't go right. There's too much pressure on the man, and the glory goes where it should not. If there's revival this week, if the Lord is able to do something through Tim, give God the glory. You can thank Him for being willing to come. You should. But give God the glory. And you see, when we put confidence in man, we're going to lose it at some point. Because men will leave us down. Men will make mistakes. But if we put trust in God, then He can help us out. Well, this was Gideon's time of testing. You know, he failed, he passed a tremendous test. But yet he did make a mistake, and it was a serious mistake. And so my encouragement to you is that don't give up. Don't give up in the battle. Don't let your guards down. Because the battle's not over until life is over. And Satan will continue to try to find a way into our lives. So we must be faithful and continue to trust God, and to live in obedience to His will for our lives. Thank you for your good attention. Let's kneel for prayer.